Hey there, this is Adam Zekas with Tom Kissingberry from the IDP Read and React IDP podcast right here at TLF. Say hello, Tom. It's you, chap. Golly, good gosh. Here I am. Great. Anyway, if you're interested in getting started with IDP and Dynasty Leagues or looking for a way to dominate your IDP leagues, then our show is for you. Isn't that right, Tom? Ah, yes, my good man. And of course, I bring the coveted data and insight that can only come from a monarch-loving, tea-slurping, crumpet muncher such as myself. Yep, very, very cool, Tom. Very cool. Well, you can find our podcast right here in the DLF family of podcast feed on DynastyFootball.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at The Read and React.
Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another TRADE. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem, making all these trades up, got me saying got em, but I've been paid up. I even started from the bottom, see I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk, but I'm an addict. It's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn, I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
Go, introduce yourself.
I thought my bad. My name is Memphis, and I also have a trading problem.
You've been on this show before.
It's been a while. But my name is Memphis, and I also have a trading problem.
I really hope you hear me whispering because I'm not editing any of that out.
No, first of all, there's a strict no edit policy on any podcast I'm on.
Yes, absolutely. Hold on. Here. Silence while I take a big sip of water.
There's a strict no edit policy on any podcast Russ, you know, is the host of. So
DGN.
That's true.
Back on track. Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 212 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of a DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we just did. And my rookie drafts are pretty much done. I am free. I am in three Fantasy Cares Eliminators so far. I am not free. You're never free. There is no freedom. Because now we have the Eliminators. Then comes the one startup you probably start because you're bored after the Eliminators. Then comes Scott Fishbowl. Then comes the league you start because you're bored in between Scott Fishbowl and the season. So, like, but we are here. We are happy to be here. We are not sad that we have stuff to draft, even though John Bosch is the devil because of this scoring in the Fantasy Cares Eliminators. Real quick, if you don't know what they are, man, how do you describe the Eliminators? They are a league where you get to play with your heavy air quotes here, celebrities of the industry. And there are, 17 weeks, right? So there are 17 teams. Yeah. And every week, this is a best ball league, by the way, every week the team who scores the least is eliminated. And you go every week, eliminated, 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 until the last week of the season, you get a winner. And it's all for charity. There are Fantasy Cares, Go Pantry, the heavy quotes celebrities will put links on the message board for charities they specifically want to deal with. And it's all just part of the season, part of the beginning of the football season, beginning of the Scott Fishbowl season. And you get to meet so many awesome people and you get to draft having no idea what you're doing. It was the third round. And Rocky and I, right, Justin in the chat, you know, just shows how much of an idiot I am. If there are 17 weeks and 17 teams, you are left with no team at the last week. So there are 18. right. Good start, everybody. Good start. And on our third pick of this wonderful, awesome draft, we were deciding between should we draft Ryan Tannehill, Kyle Pitts, or the New England defense.
That's how messed up the scoring is.
Yeah. We went with Kyle Pitts because it sounded the most fun.
Yep.
And again, this is for charity, so you're not supposed to super care too much anyway, but I don't want to be the first eliminated again this year. I say again, because yes, Rocky got us eliminated week one in one of the
trades. You had way more control of that draft than I did last year. It's been more of a co-managing thing last year. I let you take the reins mostly last year. All your fault, Russ.
Oh yeah, last year was absolutely my fault. Like Rocky's like, hey, are we doing eliminators? Dude, I drafted two already. What are you talking about? what about you, Memphis? What do you got going on with eliminators? Are you in one? Do you run one? Do you just hate all of them?
Jerry Sinclair, my co-host, and I over at the Dynasty War Zone, we have decided to do one, and we are first one. Didn't have time last year, but I have played in the Scott Fish Bowl the last 4 years. It's one of my favorite things, and you got to get in there. I heard 18 defenses went in like the first half of a draft in someone's eliminator. Like the defensive emphasis in this is just insane. I wonder if the Scott Fish Bowl itself is going to mirror that scoring this year. Because every year, you know, Scott comes up with a twist of the scoring. So I want, because last year it was kickers.
With kickers, yeah. Yep.
So you have to wonder what Scott's going to have cooked up for us in 2022. But yeah, you know, I think the best part about the eliminators is it's best ball.
Yep.
You know, one less roster to set. And for those of us that do shows on Sunday morning, we did a show last year live before game day, kind of a gambling meets DFS meets lineup setting, you know, roster show. You know, when you have a bunch of rosters to set, but you're trying to host a show, a live stream on YouTube, it's awful tough. So that makes best ball a great format.
So we have gone in such a ridiculous non-order that I forgot to say, hey, Memphis, why don't you let everyone know listening who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I host podcasts, just like my friend Russ here. We're over at the Dynasty Warzone Network. If you search Dynasty Warzone everywhere but TikTok, because we say, screw TikTok, you will find the Dynasty Warzone. You know, we've got a younger member of the team. His name's Dallas Hyder. He hosts our show called The Rookie Rundown. He's a recent college grad, smart young. I'm trying to get him to take over the TikTok, but he won't do it. So he's probably smarter than I think. But if you search Dynasty Warzone everywhere but TikTok, you'll find us, YouTube, podcast, Instagram, Twitter, the whole nine yards. And just like you guys, we love Dynasty Fantasy Football. And we host a show every Wednesday. So come check us out and see what we're doing.
Awesome. Okay, so we are going to rein it in a little bit. Not real news happened. I'm really sad because Jarvis Landry finally signed, but I forgot who said it where, but I heard someone say Jarvis Landry on Green Bay, and that's all I ever wanted. Like, I didn't realize how much I needed that to happen. And then he goes and signs with the Saints. And it's just like, I get it.
Yeah.
It makes sense. When you have a quarterback like Jameis Winston, you want to get him like the surest people you can. And that's what Jarvis Landry is. He is a safety blanket. He is Mr. Safety. It makes perfect sense. Also, a little worried about the whole Michael Thomas thing going on. And you just then have rookie Chris Olave. But I'm super sad. Super sad that he's not in Green Bay. Does this actually worry you for Chris Olave's future at all? Like, you were talking right now, Memphis, that you're in a rookie draft. Does that move his needle at all?
No, you have to look at what they gave up to get Chris Olave. If you actually like take the cumulative effect of all of the things they gave up to get that 111, it's something like a first, 2 seconds, a third, and a fourth. They really, 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 really like this guy, and they have a plan for him. You know, I've always liked guys, and this is not just in the football business, but any business. I like that established veteran that seems to be a good mentor and someone who can help the young guy. And I think that is Jarvis Landry. I think he gave him the hometown discount. He went to LSU. And I'm not going to – I'm kind of going to give like a prequel of what we're going to talk about here in a bit. But I like it for a lot of people and not just Olave. Or I don't think Jarvis is going to have much week to week. I'm going to push the insert in lineup and hit submit lineup button with Jarvis in it. But I think he's going to provide a lot of cover, if you will, for some of the other guys in this offense. So I think overall it's a good move for everybody but Jarvis's dynasty value.
Which there wasn't much anyway. So, all right. Rocky, anything to add?
No, yeah, I'm with Memphis. I mean, I think it's a nice real football move. I don't think it impacts fantasy for him himself or the other guys all that much. I think it could be as much about that veteran leadership as anything else, especially I don't know how much of that Thomas is providing, given some of what we've seen from him. And they could just use somebody else. They could use a wide receiver three. You know, it's basically like Marcus Callaway and Deontay Harris or Hardy or whatever his name is now. I don't think it impacts much fantasy wise at all. I think, you know, Jarvis may pop up with a game or two, but like Memphis said, they invested so much in Olave. It doesn't move the needle for me on him at all.
Yeah. You got to imagine that. Okay. Yes. Jarvis Landry is going to take a couple of targets away, but I don't think that hinders the total effect of what Chris Olave is going to bring, because like Memphis said, he's going to draw a little bit away. He's going to take a little bit of attention from Olave. Even if it's just one dude, one guy who shifts his zone a little to the middle and gives Olave the edge, you know, it's something. And cool, maybe Olave loses like 15 total targets that would have gone to him but went to Landry instead. But it could increase the efficiency of the rest of the targets that went there. Because let's, you know, face it, Landry ain't a spring chicken anymore. And to go along the lines of what you guys are saying, you know, Olave has been called the best route runner in this draft. So you go and get Jarvis Landry, who is also a fantastic route runner, to teach him whatever little things he can along the way. So overall, honestly, I'm all for it. It was a great move. It's very cool to have that in there where it's you get that veteran player to help a little bit, but I don't think it takes away at all from the rookie. And I don't think anything else at all actually happened. No? Yeah. Nope. Okay, cool. From Memphis, do you want to do Trade Addict trades or listener questions first?
Let's do the trades. I love trades.
Cool. All right, well, Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for Trade Addicts 1, of which we have two trades, which is exciting because NTA 1 goes on like 8-month cold streaks. And then the first one we have is David Montgomery for a 23 first. Is this the league where David Montgomery got moved for the 108?
Yes. That was me, actually, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was your outhouse challenge. So yes. This is both David Montgomery for a 23 first or the 108 for a 23 first. In either case, I'm taking the 23 first.
That is the play. I don't mind the 108 for David Montgomery, but I don't, as odd as it is to say, I don't mind the 108 for David Montgomery. But I don't want David Montgomery over 2023 first, especially in Trade Addict, because you have to understand the scoring format. It's a little something I've been sharing with our listeners on our podcast is that the DraftKings already has a number up for next year, that there's going to be the numbers 5.5 quarterbacks in the first round taken next year.
Yep.
And that's going to mean 5 to 6 quarterbacks that you may want in this rookie class next year. Really strong running back class. Next year, if you need a running back, give the 108 this year. I'm thumbs up with that for David Montgomery, because you're not going to get a good running back as good as David Montgomery at the 108. But I would rather keep that 2023 first in my pocket, knowing what this class is going to look like and knowing the Trade Addict scoring format. It just makes the 23 first a little bit more appealing to me personally. What about you, Rocky?
Yeah, I wish I could have traded my 108 for this 23 first, because I got the ad house challenge that I think it was the ad house challenge that Andrew did actually. I got 108 off of him,
yeah,
for David Montgomery, which I was perfectly fine with. So I'm clearly, I wanted that, so I'm obviously happy. I would be happy getting a 2023 first for David Montgomery. I said to somebody, like, when I saw this come through, I was like, wow. Like, I could not believe he could pull a 23. I think Andrew in the chat even said he was looking to get some 23 first, and I was just like, good luck with that. I did not expect him to get it from David Montgomery, actually. I mean, he's fine, but I just think that offense is going to be not good this year. So they haven't done much to help Justin Fields. There's no receivers there other than Mooney, who's nice, but nothing. I don't think is anything special. So I mean, I guess he could get a lot of dump off work, but in a year from now, no one's even going to, I think, even think about giving a first for him. So to me, this is a great move.
So 23 firsts. I just got a rejection email from Trade Addicts One where I offered T. Higgins to get my 23 first back and Justin Ross. Rejected.
I think that's a quite generous offer on your part. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of services that have T. Higgins as a top 10, 12, 15 wide receiver in a startup.
He's right, like a now top five guy in Russ's heart.
And that feels like a generous offer for a first and Justin Ross. And, man, I would have to be pretty stacked at wide receiver to be able to turn that down.
Yes. I would give up a 23 first for, and I'm holding on to them in a lot of leagues too, because of how much they're being valued. But I would give one up for T. Higgins. And Justin Ross wouldn't make the difference to me.
Hashtag Team Clemson big wide receiver.
I'm not gonna look around and go, I can't give up that Justin Ross.
Yeah.
Hey, watch your tongue.
Russ loves him some Justin Ross.
He's fine, but he is not going to be the straw the that breaks this camel's back. Yeah, no, he's fine.
Our next trade is a Russ and Rocky trade, so Memphis is totally going to have to go first on this one. Deontay Johnson and a 23 second for Jahan Dotson and a 24 first.
I am the Deontay. Well, first of all, for those that are new or maybe haven't heard my show in a while, I wave the black and gold pom-poms for Deontay Johnson. I have him just about everywhere. And this is the guy that literally does everything that a young QB or a bad QB, so I'm talking Pickett or Mitch Trubisky, that these guys need. So I think Deontay Johnson is going to continue to be a target magnet. That 23 second is going to be fine. And if Trade Addicts 1 is much like Trade Addicts 7, which I'm in, you're going to have more than ample opportunity to get that 24 first back. So for me, I don't mind Jahan Dotson, but I'm a big Deontay Johnson guy. I think I think I have him 9 in my personal dynasty startup rankings. It's hard to fade a guy who averages 10 targets a game.
I love you right now, Memphis. I am the biggest Deontay guy out there. He's literally my most owned player of the gut, legit guy. I have a few cheaper guys that I might have in more leagues, but of legit players, he is my most owned dynasty player, and I got him in this trade. So.
You know, and the best part is that he's not been mentioned the way that we've talked about A.J. Brown, who just got paid, and Terry McLaurin wants to get paid. He's in that same window. He's eligible for an extension. And if you like Deontay Johnson with Matt Canada and that offense in Pittsburgh, them drafting a first-round rookie QB is the best news if you want him to stay possible, because paying a rookie QB a rookie QB salary means there'll be salary cap left over to not only pay TJ Watt and other parts of the defense like Minka Fitzpatrick, there will be enough money to pay Deontay Johnson. So the odds of him staying in Pittsburgh have gone up due to them drafting Kenny Pickett. So a little side note for me.
And speaking of AJ Brown, we all consider him in such high regard, and I do too, especially now that he's on my Eagles. But but I made this comparison with somebody recently. I think it was 2 years ago. He outscored AJ Brown in points per game if you take away the couple games he left in the first quarter. And last year he was within like a point and a half of him or something like that, points per game basis. So, but the difference in their values, even now, even with AJ Brown on the Eagles, I think is still pretty big.
The scariest,
he doesn't do it the right way. He doesn't do it the X wide receiver way. That's the only way you get.
And he doesn't have those 30-35 point games every once in a while like AJ Brown does.
You know, the thing of it is now AJ Brown's an Eagle, and it's great for Jalen Hurts and it's great for the Eagles. But the Eagles were the only team in 2021 that actually had more rush attempts than pass plays. I believe the number was 525 pass attempts. And if you divide that by 17 games, it's 30 pass attempts a game. Now you take that by about 62% completion. That's 19 completed footballs a game. Now, how are we divvying up that 19 completed footballs a game? How many does Goddard get? How many does Devonta Smith get? I know there's going to be a little bit left over for Watkins, and they signed Zach Pascal from the Colts. So how are we exactly divvying up 19 football? So A.J. Brown could literally have half the catches this season of Diontae Johnson. And it's not a talent discrepancy. Clearly, A.J. Brown's more talented. But the situation right now clearly leans Diontae Johnson.
I do think you're going to see those numbers change somewhat this year. If you look last year, the first seven games, I believe it was, they threw 35 passes or more. Five of those seven games, which I think is the offense Sirianni wants to run. And I think that's why you go and get an AJ Brown. So I don't think they're necessarily going to be throwing it 35, 40 times a game, but I think it's going to be more. I don't think they're going to run more than they pass this coming year, like what happened last year.
Yeah. But again, it really comes down to how long did it take Cooper Kupp to gain that respect? How long, like Jarvis Landry never did.
Yeah.
So I think that like I was sort of joking when I said he doesn't do it the right way, but I'm kind of not. Where it seems like the community itself like adjusted a little bit, where it's like, okay, we get it, PPR points matter, but I still don't think you break into the top 5-10 wide receivers unless you're that X type, or unless you break fantasy football like Cooper Kupp did.
You know, I also believe that had Diontae Johnson, Kate, we were just talking about rookie drafts and Chris Olave and what have you. If Diontae Johnson had come into his rookie class with as much fanfare and you know, popularity as like a Treylon Burks is this year or a Drake London, and he came into the league with that much popularity and produced the way that he's produced, I think he would be valued a lot more than Dynasty. Fantasy, but I think right now people just look at him as a guy who is drafted roughly in the mid-second in his rookie class. And, you know, it's like I think everybody's just waiting for the bottom to fall out, and they just don't believe it's going to be consistently repeatable. So I'm a big Diontae guy. Love him. But I do like Jahan Dotson. Best hands in the class everywhere you go. It's not really a metric you can measure like 40 or, you know, explosiveness. But all the film grinders say best hands in the class. When you have Carson Wentz as your quarterback, that's important.
You need it, yeah. The reason it's funny, the reason I did this was I stole Diontae Johnson from Rocky in an NFL challenge purely because he is the jerk that comes after T. Higgins and Jalen Waddle every time I do one. So I'm
and
like,
I
you know what?
I did steal one Waddle in one of the leagues, yes.
It is revenge time. And it was revenge was best served Diontae Johnson. And I'm like, it was more of a joke. So I've been looking for a way to give him back for a while. And my team has turned not good in TA1. So I was trying to find a way to gain some youth, gain some picks. And we know 23 is impossible to get your way into. So all right, let me see if I can just grab a couple of 24s while I'm at it. And I don't have any other Jahan Dotson shares, I don't think. And when you're in like 20 leagues, like I feel like you should have a share of it, like everyone, just in case. So I'm like, all right, let me get my just-in-case share. Let me get my 24 pick, and let's just call it a day. And I threw in the 23 second just to make sure he said yes.
Yeah, and that did help. And I was happy to do it, too, because I have a couple of Jahan Dotson, but I mostly drafted him here in this league out of value. I'm not super high on Dotson, but I think it was the 112 or the 201. I was like, you know, first-round draft capital, all that stuff. And so I'm kind of glad to turn him into Diontae. So thanks, Russ.
So let's move on to a really weird one in Trade Addicts 3, where Chustin sends Cam Akers for Jameis Winston and Miles Sanders. I did not understand this one. Like, this is Cam Akers for me, like, without really thinking about it.
Here's my thing about Jameis, though. I kind of grazed over it earlier in the show. We were talking about Olave and Jarvis Landry. I truly believe Jameis is the starting quarterback in New Orleans for at least the next 2 years.
Yeah,
they don't have a first next year. They're going to continue to have salary cap issues
for a long time.
There's not going to be a veteran out there that really threatens Jameis. So if you were really desperate for quarterback, and, you know, I think Jameis, unlike your Jared Goff, you know, those type guys, Davis Mills, these guys feel like 1 year lease QBs. And that we talked about the six potential quarterbacks in next year's draft. Whereas Jameis, really, due to the situation around him, he feels like he's going to get at least 2 years of opportunity in this offense. And for that reason, if I think this is a fair trade, but I understand why people would look at it on the surface and go, why would you give that up for Cam Akers? So I'm a little bit higher on Jameis, and they're surrounding him with weapons. I mean, again, Olave. We didn't mention the post-hype sleeper, a guy that I love, Adam Trautman, tight end position. Kamara catches the ball real well.
Yep.
I mean, Jameis is going to have – and he plays in a division with Tom Brady. You know there's going to be some shootouts there. I mean, the Saints clearly want to win, and I think Jameis is in a good opportunity to score, and I know he throws the ball to the wrong team a little bit too much. But that's okay. If you needed like a solid QB2 with a QB1 week upside, Jameis is your guy. So Jameis and Sanders is fine for Cam. It's fair. How about that?
Yeah, I'll take it. I did not expect something like this to happen. Okay, but unrelated completely, my wife is such a jerk. She went into the city tonight and saw The Music Man with Hugh Jackman. And she sends me this picture. She was like freaking four rows back. Like, she could have just
big,
like,
Hugh Jackman guy, by the way.
Wait, what did you say?
I'm a huge Hugh Jackman fan.
Okay, good. Just making sure you were not about to talk bad about
him. No, absolutely not. First of all, I love the people of Australia. Australians are amazing. And he played Logan/Wolverine. How could I not like Hugh Jackman?
And if you're a patron, flex those arms right now to show him what you got. Yeah,
I got the whole Marvel thingamajabby on my arm. So me and Russ have that in common as well.
Yeah, for a while he was just like, "Hey, Russ, click. I want one. Click. How do you keep getting these? Click."
I've taken a hiatus. I've been too busy working.
Yeah, damn. It's been 3 years. I have an appointment in June.
Ah, congratulations.
But yeah, Cam Akers. We can move on from that. The next trade is another league of Trade Addicts 5, where I decided I'm going to try and see if I can just get a 24 pick because my team is terrible and I don't want Kareem Hunt on my team anymore. So I sent Kareem Hunt and a 24 second for a 24 first I sent that to every team and someone accepted it.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Kareem Hunt going into year 6 of his career, splitting the backfield with Nick Chubb, not even really even splitting like in a 50-50 sense, but like just getting what he gets, and he does fine. He's an RB2. He's the kind of guy that if you have an injury or you need to plug him in, or you're extremely thin at the running back position. But the only thing that's guaranteed to go up in value in that deal is that first. So I'll take the first.
And Memphis is right. I really have no interest in acquiring Kareem Hunt at this point. Like you said, I mean, you can plug him in there and he'll get you something most weeks, but you never know when he's going to pop off, and he's not dependable, and he's aging now, and I just, whatever. I'd rather have the first.
Everything you said, I thought you were talking about me. He's aging. He's not dependable. Nobody wants him. I was like, well, wait a second. Did I lose track of what we're talking about?
Hey, you look fantastic for like a 57-year-old.
Hey, you know what? For a guy who's 63 years old, I'm doing okay.
Don't look a day over 61, Memphis.
That's right.
So, Trade Addicts 6. Oh, wait, no, before we move on, I did the same thing. I had two 24 seconds, and I did this with Kareem Hunt, And then I did the same thing with Hunter Renfrow. All rejected.
See, I'd rather have Hunter Renfrow in the second. I mean, the Davante Adams thing does. I mean, I still believe Hunter Renfrow gets his. Now, is he going to finish as a wide receiver one, as gross as it is to sound on the season last year? He finished as a top 12 wide receiver. It's possible versus probable. Is it possible that he repeats? Yeah, anything's possible. Is it probable with a healthy Darren Waller and the addition of Davante Adams? No, but he's still going to be a wide receiver two-ish most weeks. You're going to have injuries. You're going to want to plug him in. I would have, if, you know, the old proverbial water pistol to the side of the head, I'm easily taking Renfrow in the second and giving up the first and Kareem Hunt. That's easy.
All right, so I'm going to boot someone from TA5. You can accept that trade, and then I'll just put them back in.
Hey, I'm happy to help.
You're the best. So, Trade Addicts freaking six, guys. In 2021, we had the J. Mike Invitational, where J. Mike had every pick in the 2021 first draft. We had last year, the draft that happened 2 weeks ago, where J. Mike had, I think it was still three firsts and a couple of seconds.
It's laying the groundwork.
He traded Josh Jacobs for a 24 first.
That's a gift. That's a gift.
I think Josh Jacobs is going to be completely fine. Like, he's, 24 still at the end of his first contract? I get it. The Raiders didn't take his fifth-year option. Probably on a new team next year. He's still young enough and good enough that I still think he walks into a decent role. Like, he'll get signed somewhere. But I get wanting to move off of him. And it just... I'm glad I won TA6 2 years ago, because no one else is ever going to win for the next
time. And he doesn't need Josh Jacobs anyway.
No, that's the problem.
And Josh, I mean, Josh Jacobs, there couldn't be a more disrespected back-to-back RB1 on a season than Josh Jacobs. RB8 in 2020, RB12 last year, and both years he missed one game in 20, two games in 21. Finishes a RB1 in both seasons. And you know what? I think it's I think before the NFL draft and before the Raiders didn't pick up his fifth year option, but it's like, we talked about how strong this 23 draft class is. I just don't know that Josh Jacobs isn't a Melvin Gordon level journeyman this time next year. So I've loved Josh Jacobs. If you ever listen to the Dynasty Warzone, I've been like his biggest supporter. That's how I knew he was a back-to-back RB1, has more RB1s in his seasons in his career than Joe Mixon. I love Josh Jacobs, but it's apparent to me that the fine folks of Las Vegas do not, because not only did they decline his fifth-year option, they drafted two additional running backs, including their second. They only had a limited amount of draft capital from the Davante Adams trade. We're going to take an offensive lineman, pick one, and our first skill guy, Zamir White out of Georgia. The handwriting's kind of on the wall in Las Vegas, which is too bad. I think Josh Jacobs is a fine running back.
Yeah, he also never got the usage and respect he deserved.
Especially in the passing game.
Yeah. So I'm hoping he goes somewhere else. But, man, I'm hoping he gets a better shot than – I mean, Melvin Gordon did great last year, but I still hope he gets more of a chance than that.
Yeah, I'm still fine with giving the 24 first for him, though. I think he is going to have another good year this year. I think Zamir White is more laying the groundwork for when Jacobs leaves next year. I mean, he's obviously going to get some playing time this year, but I still think Jacobs is going to get a decent workload. And that offense has to be better with Adams there, Adams, Waller, Renfrow. They got Carr locked up. So I think he could still finish in that low-end RB1 territory this year. And then, yeah, who knows after that? Like you said, he maybe becomes Melvin Gordon. But, again, the 2021st is far enough out. I'd be fine with giving it up. J-Mike, I think he might have – I don't know if he spammed the league with this, but I actually got this offer as well. But my team is total trash there, so I was not giving up my 2021st for a running back that's going to be going into a second contract soon. But
well, now I feel left out because I don't think I did.
Yeah. Do you have a 24 first? Maybe you don't have one. That's very possible.
Okay, so we have a situation in Trade Addicts 10, Rocky. I don't know if you've noticed this.
First, yes, I because I you're talking about Derek and his first. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I am.
I talked to Derek. He told me tonight I got 17 of them
over the next 2 years. 9 23 firsts and 8 24 firsts. He's
trying to pull a J Mike.
In one of these years. But okay, let's see how he got 2 of the 24 firsts. His first trade was Marquise Brown, and apparently Mo Alie-Cox is still in the NFL, for David Njoku and a 24 first. Like, this is him making sure he sends a trade out that he's going to get that 24 first. Yeah, because to me, it's pretty easily Marquise Brown.
And this was me, yeah. So I'll let you guys talk about it.
I like David Njoku, but kind of the same thing with Josh Jacobs. Where's he plying his trade in 2023? I have no clue. I don't know that they'll extend him in Cleveland. I think they're going to be grooming Harrison Bryant to eventually take that role.
I thought they were doing that already.
Yeah, as like a cost savings move. I mean, they're kind of getting away with some shenanigans because Deshaun Watson's base salary this year is $1 million. And I think the thought is that he took that to defer any potential major cost from being suspended for games. But when that big mega bonus kicks in, how do you afford to re-sign David Njoku? Wouldn't you want the young guy on the rookie deal and Harrison Bryant? So this is easily Marquise Brown. I don't love Mo Alie-Cox even as a Colts fan, but I mean, Hollywood Brown's good and DeAndre Hopkins is getting old. He's suspended. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really him, and I could see this guy really having a nice role there. So for me, this is pretty hands down Marquise Brown.
Yeah,
I like the comment that, hey, this person is just trying to guarantee that you say yes for that 24 first.
Yeah,
and he did. And I didn't even realize until he sent this, but I really am kind of into Marquise Brown in 2022. Like you said, Hopkins is suspended for 6 games, and I thought Hopkins was kind of on the decline last year. Anyway, he was getting buoyed by touchdowns, and you know, they played together at Oklahoma, and you know, Brown was been really good for the last 2 years, other than that span where Tyler Huntley came in. I mean, he was producing with Lamar at the beginning of last year. He was producing with Lamar at the end of the year before.
Yep.
And basically wide receiver one numbers for like a full year if you take the two halves of each season. So, and he's got, you know, Kyler, he's the number one in that offense until Hopkins comes back, and maybe the number one even when Hopkins does come back. So, yeah, I'm kind of into this, and it made it easy for me to accept.
This next one has me confused. Elijah Moore and a 24 first. For Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Ronald Jones, Jerry Jeudy, and a 24 fourth.
This is the one that I couldn't understand. Like, I'm trying to do the trade math in my head. Let's call Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy about equal. And I think that's fair. I mean, yeah. Some people might be a Jeudy guy. You might be a Moore. Doesn't matter. So that means you're given a first, in my opinion, for Clyde Edwards, Ronald Jones, and a fourth.
I did the same math when I saw this trade, too.
And I was like... I would just be like, no, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have Elijah Moore. I think Jerry Jeudy's value took a weird dip last week with some weird news around what was labeled as a domestic violence or domestic thing, but it was because she took his phone, so he took her purse and baby formula. Very weird, but there was no actual touching of anybody in a negative way. So I think that might be, I don't know. I could easily give me the Elijah Moore in the first.
I'm with Memphis, and I'm with them on the Elijah Moore over Jeudy thing too. We had a month or so, 6 week span last year where Elijah Moore has done better than anything Judy's done in 2 years in the league with just as bad quarterbacking. So, and I know Garrett Wilson is there now, but you know, Jeudy has Sutton and other guys there as well. So I would take, even if you call that a wash, though, like you said, the first for those other pieces is just like, even a 24 first, which, yeah, I will devalue a little bit because of the 2 years away. But, yeah, no. Especially, you know, Rojo in there, I would have to say no automatically. So.
Hockey says no to anything if Rojo is there. Before we move on to listener questions, we have a question in the chat. Justin Mercer asks, Kareem Hunt or a 23-second and Ridley?
Taking 23-second Ridley.
Would you just take 23-second?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I would probably take the 23-second.
I mean, Ridley. So Ridley is a guy that, as these rookie drafts are going on, if I can throw like a late second, early third at, just give me Calvin Ridley. I'll stash him on the back end of my roster, and you know, I'll see what happens. But by the time he comes back, he'll be like 28, which is not young, but it's not old. And
that's prime, baby.
Yeah, I mean, he'll still. And plus, it's not like he went away due to injury, like he had his ACL repaired or an Achilles or whatever. He just made a bad decision, and he'll be perfectly healthy and probably be motivated to come back and play because obviously he has a gambling problem. So I'm joking, but yeah, easily give me the second Ridley.
Yeah, like if you're into Michael Thomas right now, you have zero reason to not be into Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, it's like I've seen in some places where Odell Beckham Jr. is going ahead of Calvin Ridley, and that one's a head scratcher because Odell Beckham Jr., because of the real late season ACL, may not be back on the field until like November Thanksgiving-ish, which means in like a dynasty startup, you may only get 5 or 6 games.
And he's got a couple of years on Ridley.
Yeah, he'll be 30 this year, and Ridley will be like 28. So, I mean, I'm getting a couple of year younger guy. So, for me, it's pretty easily the second and free Ridley. Give me free Ridley. Free, see what
free
I did
Ridley.
There? Free Ridley.
Yeah, I'll take Ridley free, but I'm not super interested in a guy that's going to be out of the league for 2 years. And that's why I'm also not very interested in Michael Thomas either. But if you can get him for a third, sure.
As soon as I'm not lazy, his jersey is going to be right there. Okay, so now let's move on to the listener questions. The first one, Tim Turner at Quantum Turner. I'm in his Fantasy Cares Eliminator. You've probably exhausted the topic, but if not, I'm really curious about young tight ends. Pitts, McBride, Pat Freiermuth, Isaiah Likely too. Really high on him still despite landing spot. Am I nuts? Also, should I wear spandex or short jorts to Canton? I'm going to take the last part first. It got really, really hot there. I feel like spandex is a terrible idea. The chafing alone? I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a gorgeous man. People would not be sad to see him in spandex. But, like, no, it will not be comfortable. The jort jorts is a statement. And that is the statement you want to make.
Couldn't agree more. As long as there's no rain in the forecast, you know, you're good in the short jorts. Short jorts, 100%.
Yep.
3 for 3. I'm with you guys.
Rock on. Okay, so young tight ends. Are we still... Okay, I love the landing spot of all, like, a lot of the tight ends that fell this draft also. Like, I love Jelani Woods on the Colts. I love McBride on the Cardinals, though. It might take him a year with Ertz just getting extended or re-signed or whatever he was. He's still on the team. But I think we're past the point of really, like, needing to wait for young players anymore. I think especially at tight end where there is not a glut of talent, where if someone comes in and is talented enough on a team where there are enough open targets, like, who else is catching the ball besides Michael Pittman?
I mean, I don't want to go too hype on rookie camp video, but Alec Pierce looked really, really good. But no, I'm with you, and I'm looking at these guys, and like, given acquisition cost, if we're doing an algorithm or like a cross section of point upside meets acquisition cost, for me, it's Pat Freiermuth. I love that offense in Pittsburgh now that they got the corpse of Big Ben out of there.
Yeah.
But if you want a really, really sneaky taxi stash in all of your leagues, it's Isaiah Likely. Yep. A friend of mine runs an Instagram fan page for the Baltimore Ravens. It's @the_purplearmy. And he's been talking about and posting things where, due to their lack of wide receiver weapons, they could split him out as like a slot wide receiver. He's a big guy. And if he gets that kind of a role and he winds up, you know, playing wide receiver snaps and you get him super duper late in the 4th or 5th round of your rookie drafts as a taxi stash. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't as high on him until I read that. But like I said, he's pretty patched in to the Ravens and the Ravens beat reporters. I love McBride as a long-term future play. Mm-hmm. I think you got to get old man Ertz out of there first, but once he's gone, and again, this is the kind of the Jarvis Landry note. I think Zach Ertz seems like a pretty good guy, and I think he'll help Trey McBride learn how to be a pro, and when it's time to pay Kyler, you can't pay Zach Ertz, and that will be the time when the young second-year tight end emerges. So I'm all for young tight ends, and I like Pitts. That's just, man, his price is to the moon and back.
Yep. Matt Price is a very big Kyle Pitts fan. Offered someone the equivalent of four firsts, and it got shut down.
I'm sold American.
Yeah, I sold him for three, and I think it was TA9. It's a 323 first. I was happy to do it. So
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, you did. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was two this year, one next year, or something like that, right?
No, it was the 323s.
Oh, was it 323s?
Okay. Yeah, it was Ryan. He had a whole bunch of 23s. And
Yes.
And so, yeah, I was very happy to do it. Two of them look later, but I'm still fine with it. But likely, I don't know if I can get on. I mean, you'd have paid nothing for him. So, yeah, I just totally fine stash. I just don't know if anything ever becomes of it, just because it's not like they really support wide receivers there other than maybe their top guy plus Andrews. So, and Andrews is going to probably be there forever. So I just don't know that much becomes of it. It's not like they were supporting, you know, Duvernay and Boykin and even Bateman last year when he was healthy, only had a couple of flashes. So, but yeah, I love all the other guys as well. I was looking to McBride. You're probably looking at a 2024 before you get any real return from it, because they can't get. I was looking at the Ertz contract. They can't really get out from that until after 2023. It's only like a $2 million difference between the dead cap and his cap hit until then. So. But so it's like Memphis said, he's definitely a long-term play, but yeah. And everybody loves Pitts. So, but if I'm getting 323 first for him, I'll sell him all day.
And there's Jeremy Ruckert on the Jets and Daniel Bellinger on the Giants. And it's not, I mean, because of the players themselves, but also the path to targets isn't super hard.
I have so much Bellinger for that reason. I got him off waivers and so
many. Yes, waivers just, after rookie drafts. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my we're talking about rookie drafts. That was my favorite pick. I'm in a 1.75 tight end premium must start two. Ooh. And I got and I got Jeremy Rucker at the 312. Yep. I was just as giddy as could be. I mean, I know there's CJ Uzoma and Tyler Conklin there in the way, but I think long term, a guy that Greg Cosell, you know, comped to a George Kittle type. I think that's the kind of lottery ticket I want to have in that kind of a scoring format. So, yeah, I love the Rucker call.
Yeah. All right. Next question. At P-Win Dynasty, this is a good one for you, Memphis.
Yes.
At what age is it acceptable to bring a cooler of beer to your kid's baseball game?
Well, first of all, I'm in a league with Mr. Dynasty, Mr. P-Win here. He's a great guy. And first of all, it's always acceptable. First of all, they have like these rubber, I don't want to call it like a can condom, but I don't really have a better analogy. And it says like Coke or Pepsi, and like you sleeve it over a Budweiser, and it, from a distance, it looks like you're drinking a Coke or a Pepsi. But thanks to the good folks at Yeti, they have those screw top cans that you can put your hard seltzer or your beer in, and all you see is the top of an aluminum can. Could be a Diet Coke, could be a Coors Light. We really don't never know unless you're switching them out like where everybody can see. So you put that cooler in the back seat of the truck or car, wherever. You have a designated driver. And when you go to switch them out, you just switch them out like inside the actual vehicle. No one's none the wiser. Have your beer. Don't make your kid look like his dad's had one too many. And enjoy a couple of cold ones.
Exactly.
Sounds like a good answer to me. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Next we have at Beach Ken Sandra 2. I don't understand why everyone is hating on Kenny Pickett. Isn't the stuff you can't coach better to have than what you can coach? For example, the intangibles. Maybe I'm a hopeless romantic and hard work and drive doesn't outperform pure talent. Am I crazy? Real question. Is it better to build a team around QBs or wide receivers in a 12-team Superflex PPR league? Okay. First of all, quarterback, everyone. Quarterback.
Yeah, if you don't have like one of the big 8 to 9 quarterbacks in a league, you're just kind of going to be on the struggle bus until you do. And I think the NCAA, I think this draft's another classic example. You go back and look at the last 5 years, the NCAA has given us anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12 usable wide receivers a season and the amount of good quarterbacks that you get. So in a super flex, I don't think you have to have two good quarterbacks, but I still want to have my Josh Allen, Mahomes, Herbert types. Rocky disagrees.
I don't generally build around quarterback. That's like kind of my thing, Memphis. So, but what I do is I try and get the guys that, you know, I've said it a million times. I get the guys that people aren't valuing that are still going to score well for you. I just don't get the Kylers, the Josh Allens, the Mahomes. So I'll have the Staffords, I'll have the Cousins, who everybody hates for years and just scores as QB1. You know, guys
Derek
like
Carr. Derek Carr is another
Derek one. Carr. Brady, you know, scores as a QB1, but has no dynasty value because he's, you know, been old for 10 years now.
Well, you're kind of talking about my super flex philosophy. I like to have one megastar, like one Josh Allen, one Justin Herbert. And then we just mentioned baseball. I like to have that bullpen. I've got a league where I've got Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, and Jimmy Garoppolo, should he land a job. Right. Well, what do I do? I'm going to start Josh Allen every week. And then I'm going to go to the bullpen every week and play the guy with the best possible matchup that given week. That's really how I do my quarterbacks. And then kind of the same with wide receivers. I want that one stud and then as many of those B levels as I can possibly get. So I don't think you can go wrong as long as you have like one of each at each position, even running back.
Yeah, and I don't fault that strategy at all. It's just I don't like to pay up for the guys. So if I can get a deal on somebody that ends up being an elite guy, that's yay for me. But I generally just don't like to pay the price to get the Mahomes and the Allen. But I'm a big elite tight end guy. I like getting one of them early in a startup, or I will pay a little more for those. I just think that positional advantage is a lot there. Even more so than even at quarterback, you can get guys that can at least score as like QB1s, where even quote unquote tight end ones don't really matter until you get to the top like three or four to me. So, and I used to be more of a running back guy, which I'm not really as much anymore. I'm kind of in the hero RB mode. I like to have one really good guy, kind of like what you were saying, Memphis, and then I'll kind of fill in with whatever. If it is a decent RB2, fine. If it's a bunch of injury away guys, I'm fine with that too. So so I would lean more towards receivers than quarterbacks, just because I like to, you know, play it the way I do, and I think I can get the guys that I need to get to score me enough points as long as I fill them in with that tight end, those wide receivers, and a running back or two.
Yeah, by the time you're ready to actually start competing, I agree. It's funny, like I'm a combination of both of you guys. Like I'll start by getting the quarterbacks. But my hope is always you get the young quarterback who's going to appreciate in value. So by the time that happens, when you're about ready to compete, you downgrade a little bit. You go drop down to the Kirk Cousins of the times and be able to get that running back you didn't have before, because you don't buy running backs until you're ready to go. You know, that kind of thing. Like I like getting at least one young quarterback, even if it's like a Mac Jones or Zach Wilson, like a young guy who has the chance of gaining a little bit of value, or this, in a 12-team league, scarcity isn't much of a thing at quarterback because there's still enough and you don't have to start two. So as long as you have one, it's fine. But it's still something, it's easy to move quarterbacks if you have to, but especially if they gain value, it's just extra money, right? So I like having at least one young quarterback ready to go on my superflex teams before I get to that level.
I will say, too, with my whole strategy, in a startup, I generally start off trying to win now, so I'll go with the way I do quarterbacks. And as long as I'm competing, I'll keep doing that. But if I get to the point where I think my team's just bad now and I blow it up entirely, I will, you know, try and get those better quarterbacks, or at least draft them. I mean, I do draft them in the rookie draft anyway, because rookie drafts are way more about value than scoring points to me anyway. So, but when I'm totally blowing something up, I will pay a little more and get some of those young guys because of the whole value thing and holding them longer. And then, like you said, Russ, I will trade down from them when my team is ready to compete again and try and get more pieces and get my Kirk Cousins.
All right, so let's pivot that over to Kenny Pickett talking about getting quarterbacks in a rookie draft. Memphis, what are your feelings on Pickett?
He's a guy who's kind of going to wind up being in that QB2 range. I think his value is going to hold because he's going to be just, I mean, what is it? Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. You know, he's going to be just good enough with Deontay Johnson and George Pickens and Chase Claypool and Pat Freiermuth and Najee Harris that he'll be okay. He'll be probably like a 4,000 yard passing, you know, 25 TDs that'll finish as like the QB 16. I think he's solid, and his draft capital is going to insulate him a little bit. And I don't mind Kenny Pickens. So, I mean, like, I'm on the clock right now at the 108. I don't need a QB. The guy behind me does. So I'm trying to facilitate a deal to entice him to move up to get Kenny Pickett. So they definitely has value in the first round. I value him around the 107, 108 in this particular class in a super flex.
I'm with you on the value, but his ADP is still, at least for the Trade Addicts Leagues, has hung around that 106 area.
Yeah, that's a little too high for me. I mostly agree with what Memphis said, just from what I've seen of him and the weapons he has around him. But I'm a little worried just because of the history. Guys drafted from, like, you know, 20, you know, 18, 20 on, even in the first round, they have almost as bad of a hit rate as second round quarterbacks, which aren't very good. So it's basically Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson in the last 10 to 15 years that have really hit from there. And not that he was saying he was really going to hit, but even to a decent level, a lot of them don't do very well. So that scares me, but I would probably draft him a little later in the first round. I have him more like my 110, and usually that means I'm not getting him. And I don't have any Kenny Pickett this year.
I have zero.
Yeah, I was just looking in 2020. Ben Roethlisberger's not been good for a while. In 2020, mm-hmm. Big Ben was the QB 14. Last year, the QB 21. So let's average that out to the QB 18. If I told you at the 107, 108, you could get the QB 18 for the next 3 to 5 years, it's not a horrible ROI.
It's not at all.
No.
I mean, that's what we pretty much said with Mac Jones, right? But he was maybe like 110-ish, but still, same thing. All right, our last question at @draft_research. In a dynasty super flex startup and QBs are being devalued, only 11 off the board by the beginning of the sixth round, do you lean into this opportunity and load up on QBs knowing you'll have other holes, or hope QBs continue to fall and reach to fill your gaps?
First of all, in this day and age of dynasty, that's nuts that 11 QBs.
Crazy.
I sometimes see 11 QBs go in the first like 16 picks of a startup. Yeah.
I think if you don't get like 8 or 9 in your first 10 picks, it feels odd. But I've never been a QB hoarder, because this league is telling you how they value the QB position.
Yes.
And just because you think you're going to put the – because we've all done this probably. You're going to put the squeeze to them later in the offseason. It never winds up working. You wind up passing on a talented person. Because, you know, unless you have a Lamar, a Josh Allen, a Kyler, a running back that their legs are a large – Jalen Hurts, a large particular part of their scoring, you really don't need a superstar QB3. You need a guy that if you're one of your big two go down, can step in for a couple of weeks, because if you lose a Josh Allen for a season, you're done anyway. So, but you're really hoping that your QB3 is just good enough to stand alone for bye weeks and maybe a couple of injury weeks. And if you go drafting all these superstars, you're never going to get back the opportunity to take the wide receiver or running back that you passed over to try and squeeze this league for better QBs.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's the thing to me. If you have a draft like this, then people are not valuing, unless maybe if it's like 10 people are new to Superflex, maybe later on you can get them. But otherwise, they're not valuing the quarterback position. So what makes you think you're going to make this get this haul later? The thing to me, and I wouldn't hoard them for that reason, but this kind of goes with what I've said before. Like, I'm going with what the draft and the league is telling me. This is a situation where I may have an elite quarterback or two if I don't have to pay, you know, two firsts to get you know, two elite quarterbacks because there's only 11 drafted through six rounds. So get a good one, get one early. Hopefully you did, because you said, I think you said you're already in the beginning of round six, but I'm not getting four or five just to try and sell them. And what's going to happen is if you are able to, somebody probably will want one and need one, but you're going to end up selling, like, you know, Kenny Pickett or something for not much. And it's not going to be the windfall you think you're going to get because there's this great quarterback need.
And by the time that if they don't already realize the value of quarterbacks, by the time they do, it's going to be too late in the season and you're not going to get the pieces that you need. So you're just playing a game that I've never got it. I've made those mistakes. I'm just trying to help share with the listener.
I have a couple of things to address in this. One was completely just stolen by you smart guys. Part of me wants to say, yeah, go for it, because they're going to learn. They're going to figure it out. But everything you're saying is absolutely right. Even if they figure out that they need quarterbacks, I don't think it's going to spark in their head that, oh, crap, I have to pay a first for Derek Carr now. Like, they're going to be like, no, it's Derek Carr. I don't care. I'm not going to pay it. If they're new, maybe in like a year or two, like they'll figure out, like they'll adapt and learn and see what rookies come in. Like, they'll learn real fast in 2023 what quarterbacks can be worth in a rookie draft. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't see it now because we had one not great quarterback come in, but
people would rather lose than pay fair market value for Kirk Cousins. That's just a fact in Dynasty. They would rather lose than win with Kirk Cousins.
And I honestly, like, at some point, I would get a good third quarterback, but I'm not going to take five or six.
Right.
You know, I would absolutely get my third quarterback who is better than my usual QB3, which is like Davis Mills. You know, if I'm lucky, he's like one of the bottom starters of the league, because usually I just only have two quarterbacks. But what Rocky said, and, you know, what Memphis said also, not just specifically quarterbacks here. You got to listen to what your league tells you. When things start to fall, like, I've absolutely made this mistake before where it's just like, oh, this guy is falling really far in the rookie drafts, even though he went really early in the rest of them. I'm going to draft him and try and trade him. No, they would have taken him if they wanted him. And you get stuck holding the bag, and then you sell him for a whole lot less than you thought you should have. And sometimes for less than what you spent, you just get annoyed and you get him off your team. Like, it's a dangerous game to play. And if they are new people and you want to make that risk, sure, have fun. Like, with one or two. Don't grab like six. And I want to talk about filling gaps. Draft for talent, trade for need. You don't need to do anything about filling a lineup in a startup, especially in a startup in May. If you're doing your startup in August, maybe you get rid of a little bit of risk and you just make sure you draft decent players, because maybe you don't have enough time to get some trades done before the season starts. But it's May 17th right now. You don't have to worry about filling gaps. Just draft the best players available. I guess maybe except for the quarterbacks, because no one else in your league thinks they're the best players available. And then worry about filling gaps later. You know, assuming this, if they're new to Superflex, hopefully they're not new to Dynasty. So trading hopefully won't be that difficult. So assuming you can trade in this league before the season starts, I would not worry whatsoever about filling gaps.
Yep, you're not going to be setting any lineups in May or June or July. You still got about I think it's 160 days or something till the season starts. So, yeah, you're not hitting submit on any lineups for a while.
That is so far away.
You know, but part of it is I love the off season, so I'm not even sweating it. I'm looking forward to the off season.
Oh, yeah, no, I love me some non-point scoring season. It's where I trade best because I don't have to worry about those pesky points.
Yes, Russ hates points.
Russ hates points. I still have to find a way to give points for pretty rosters. Not there yet, though. But that is the end of our show sheet, so that's going to be the end of our show. It's like a record for the shortest.
I know, Russ. Like, how weird is that? What happened here, man?
I am out of steam. I don't know, man. But before we head out of here, Memphis, hope you had fun. Hope you had a good time. Thank you for coming on. Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
I am at DWZ Memphis on Twitter. The show's at Dynasty Warzone everywhere, YouTube, Instagram, all your podcast players. I host a show. We've been doing it for 4 years next month. We've never missed a Wednesday. And that's me and Jerry. And we've added some additional podcasts. We have a show on Monday, kind of like the network here at the Trade Addicts, you know, the Dynasty Addicts, if you will. And we do a rookie show. We do a game theory show, not to be confused with the Dynasty Game Night. And we do the Warzone. And then we have a redraft show, as well as some other stuff going down in season. But just good. You know what? I knew I was going to get a chance to talk to you guys. I tweeted it out. You guys are two easy for me to say, two of truly the best in the business at what you do. And it was an honor to be on the show with you.
Oh, shucks. Now you appreciate made it. Memphis.
And by the way, if you ever see Russ in public, low key, fantastic hugger. Met Russ in Canton last year. He, like on the measurables, you know, like you give him, like he would have a metric for podcasting and for video editing. You know, he's as low key, intangible as he's an excellent hugger. It was great to meet Russ in person, and look forward to spending some time with both you guys in Canton this summer.
Absolutely. And yes, if you're listening to this and you're one of those young people out there who love Dynasty Fantasy Football and are just great at TikTok, hit up Memphis. That's the one place they're lacking.
We have a spot. we could use you. Apply within.
TikTok director.
And we get our finders. All right. Our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You could have been watching and talk to us. Tell me how wrong I am with eliminators, or ask us a question like Justin did. And then you could have seen Memphis's awesome Marvel arm, except he didn't take his shirt off to show us his back. But, you know, whatever. That's maybe next time. And we also have the awesome GroupMe chat, the Cool Kids Club, filled with a whole lot of cool kids, right? I mean, it's named very properly. Yes. I just got lucky because I named that first and then all the cool people followed. Self-fulfilling prophecy for the win. And it's ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. You can get t-shirts, mugs, stickers. I like stickers. For all of your favorite DAP Network shows, Trade Addicts, Junkies, Timeline, Get Real. I think that's it. I'm bad at listing things.
Unless you've created a new podcast.
Be a lot longer.
Yeah, unless you've created a new podcast in the last week so you could host another one. I think that's it.
That's always a distinct possible problem. We do still, I know it's almost SFB season, we still have our SFB 11 stuff up there. Every week I'm going to say, crossing our fingers that we get to do some SFB 12 stuff. Crossing our fingers that there's an SFB like Central Jersey so I can live draft but not have to go anywhere.
Yeah, I volunteered to do one in Indy. I don't know what's going to come of that, but
I'm still holding out hope for Philly.
Oh, there's going to be a Philly in a New York, and I don't care if I'm
I would assume, but it hasn't happened yet.
With Sal Leto, with Sal living in the greater New York area?
Oh, yeah, there will be a New York one, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm still not positive about Philly until I see it.
Well, you're going to have to get – see, the problem is, like, the main person we know that lives in Philly is Shane Manila, and it's not like Shane's
going to take the responsibility.
So first of all, Shane – would host a wicked awesome draft.
He would,
but he would forget to reserve a venue.
Yeah,
and make sure there was
you'd be doing in a parking lot with beers you just bought and you're drinking them from paper bags. Yeah,
absolutely.
It'd be a great time though.
Yeah, you would literally set up like three folding tables in a liquor store parking lot in East Philly.
You're using chalk on the back of a building. That sounds like so much fun.
I think we found the low-key best way to draft a Scott Fishbowl live.
There we go.
I'm doing that for a draft sometime soon. I don't know. But that is all. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Good night, gentlemen.
Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addicts. Please subscribe, rate, and review. we will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.